Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
All right, here we go. Better late than never, Curtis. 10 to noon today. 33 days from the National Football League draft. And I'm going to piss you off right away. Because I was going through the tape last night, baby. I was doing the All-22 crew. I am becoming Team JJ. JJ McCarthy for the Patriots.
My Lord in heaven. You don't really feel that way, do you?
I really feel that way. Smartest thing they can do, trade back and take a chance on this guy. What is not to like about this guy? You hate him. You viscerally hate him, and I don't get it.
I rooted my ass off for J.J. McCarthy. By the way, if I keep going at this rate with college hoops, I'm going to retire by Monday. I've hit like five insane parlays.
Really?
I had Duke, Alabama, and St. Mary. And what was the other one?
Shohei Curtis over here.
Oh, my God. not going to joke about that. Learn my lesson. Anyway, I don't even remember what it was, but who cares?
Just pulling it out of your ass? I mean, it can't be. You don't watch the game this year.
I put down 60 at the start of the tournament. I'm over 400 bucks.
Wow. Would you give some to Joe? Poor Joe Braverman slaving in here as your producer.
Sorry. I have a kid. No, nothing.
It's okay. I'm doing well in my bracket. I correctly picked Yale, so I'm doing pretty good. Hopefully make some money there.
Good news for Breslow. Yeah.
As John Curtis famously said, charity starts at home. But the J.J. McCarthy is a product of a incredibly efficient, well-coached, talented team. You had exceptional offensive line, two potential All-American running backs. You had one of the best defenses in college football, and you had one of the best offensive minds in either NFL or college football. So he was the big plays that he had were the product of having a defense that had to respect the run, having an offensive line that could protect him. Yes, he has the ability. He's quick. He seems like a smart kid. All that. But he is, for me, a combination of Matt Barkley and Mac Jones.
Oh, jeez.
Guy that's, you know, wowed you at a very good college. I think Barkley was USC.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Mac, who was at Alabama, both elevated by the talent and the coaches around them. I don't love the whole Zen thing that J.J. did in college that doesn't fly. We saw that with Mac in the NFL.
Well, worked with your boy Brady. He was all Mr. Zen.
Okay, he had already won like five Super Bowls before he zenned out. And he was the least zen. He was LFG swearing at everybody, losing his mind.
Well, this guy's Mr. Terminator. He's at least showing up. He's showing up at the combine. He's throwing. He's at the pro day yesterday, which, by the way, can we hear a little break? You know who's at the pro day? Jerod Mayo, Elliot Wolf, Alex Van Pelt, and T.C. McCarthy, the quarterback's coach of the New England Patriots, there to watch J.J. McCarthy ESPN's Matt Miller gives an analysis of what he saw in the pro day for J.J. McCarthy.
I thought his workout went very well. It was a 25-minute throwing session, around 60 throws, and I think my biggest takeaway was it was better than his performance at the NFL Scouting Combine was. There we saw him struggle at times throwing to his left, struggled a little bit with touch throws. Today it was crisp. He missed, I counted two misses. I think he would tell you he maybe missed three or four. Those were, I thought, drops, but it was super clean, and I think showed the arm talent. The velocity was absolutely there. There were times where he's rolling, throwing off platform. There was a great deep throw off his back foot while on the roll, showing you some of the arm strength that he has. But when I talked to JJ, he wanted to hit the touch passes. He wanted to hit the deep outs. He wanted to hit some of the underneath option routes. Those were perfect today, and I think that is a big step up from what we saw in Indianapolis. Now the test will come with the private workouts that he has with NFL teams, but the momentum is still very much building. And I talked to a GM today. There were plenty of them here who thinks that he is still in play very much as a top six pick in this year's draft.
Okay.
McCarthy building. Team JJ. Can
you really want him as the third pick in the draft?
It's not that I want him so much as it's the smartest thing you can do, because I am now terrified of Drake May. With everything I am hearing
what
about
May. What does JJ do better than Drake May?
I don't know that we've seen him try to do as much as May, but do you want to know who sold me against May? Factor back. Merrill Hodge, who's pretty good on his, he's not always right, but he's been pretty right about his analysis of players. Can I play a little snippet from Merrill?
Oh my God, this is like,
I'm telling you, I was deep into the weeds last night.
I feel
this
like
this is big. We're 33 days away.
I feel like I'm back at ESPN in Bristol. We've got like 17 cuts with John Stashower.
These are the only two cuts I want to play.
Okay.
That one praising McCarthy and his pro day yesterday, which is current, which is relevant. You would admit.
There was once a segment I did with Amy Lawrence overnight where we had 15 cuts in an 8-minute segment.
Well, we're going to try to top that today. It's the Guinness record that currently stands. Here is Merrill Hodge with Colin Cowherd, your boy, on what he fears about Drake May.
He is completely erratic when it comes to throwing the football. I mean, it's a big concern. I mean, can you button those things up? Can you get a little better? Here's what my ultimate belief is from playing in this league, coaching, studying this league for nearly 40 years. You just don't correct that. It actually is magnified when you get to the National Football League. That is when you become more erratic. And it's on all throws. It's short, intermediate, long. Now, he'll do enough to dazzle you. And here's where I always felt the problem is that you say, oh, I'm going to fix that. I'll make him smarter. I'll make him more accurate. And that's where people get fired when you do that. And there's just too much there that would – I wouldn't give him a first-round grade. I wouldn't take him in the first round. And if I did, then I would be very concerned of, you know, how long I'm going to be around as a coach or a GM.
So, I don't know. Maybe nobody knows about these quarterbacks. They seem to be totally random. We know C.J. Stroud was good, and we know Joe Burrow was good. Those were like the two couldn't misses of the last 5 years. Even Trevor Lawrence and others, we don't know. But when I hear somebody say, wouldn't put a first-round grade on him, is it really worth the risk? Why not trade back, take a shot at McCarthy, get extra picks, build for the future?
Here's what... It's not a perfect science, I recognize that, but I do feel comfortable talking college football because it's something I actually watch, and it's not locally. BC generally sucks, but I watch
college,
SEC.
College hoops too, Parlay Master.
I have not watched a college basketball game in 4 years. And
that's not true. You and I went to a college game. Was
right,
that 4 years
but
ago?
I was more focused on Rahm Emanuel, who was sitting behind us trying to shiv me. And you getting a fajita at Fours,
oh,
which
was
the
terrible.
Worst food order in the history
really
of Boston.
Was. I'm still sick about that.
You were, like, more pale than you generally are. You were, like, translucent by the end of that game. But when the season ends, I like to sort of just laminate, finalize my opinion on the player. Because from the end of the national championship or the end of the North Carolina season until late April is silly season, where so much of what you're being fed is a part of some sort of a narrative one side's trying to spin on the other. We all remember Dan Marino falling in the draft because of the cocaine rumors and all those different things that happened. If the draft was a year before this, if you forget last season, Drake May is the no doubt about it number two pick. Caleb Williams is the no doubt about it number one pick. And that should stick. I saw a story where they had the five best players in the draft. Two of them were receivers who played with Jaden Daniels. Hmm. And we talk about Mac Jones, who is a guy that was elevated by Alabama, no, a total non-factor behind Jalen Hurts and Tua for his entire college career. He inherits an incredibly talented team with the best coach in the history of college football, wins a national championship, and all of a sudden he's the second coming.
Well, by your theory of Mac Jones was only good based on the product around him at Alabama, aren't you then afraid of Jaden Daniels?
No, because
Malik Nabers.
Oh, yes, I am afraid of Jaden Daniels. I'm not afraid of Drake May. I mean, I also look at guys like Matt Ryan, guys like Jay Cutler, guys that weren't great, you know, Hall of Famers. Maybe Matt Ryan's borderline. I wouldn't put him in. But people that elevated Vanderbilt, a guy that elevated Boston College, people that are able to build something on their own that is very difficult to replicate after they leave. I look at even Clemson, right? Clemson was unbelievable with Trevor Lawrence. They've fallen off in his absence, and he was a singular talent. And that's why I look at guys from schools that are not always football powerhouses. Also, I think there was, you know, Sean wanted to talk about the pro scheme that J.J. McCarthy played, which is just laughable. No NFL offense resembles anything Michigan did.
This one might. The Alex Van Pelt offense might be running play right. action until the cows come home.
Michigan's offense was closer to Rivers than it was to the NFL. And so I look at what Drake may did
but
in
right college. But right there, you could be right about that. But if that's the case, what if McCarthy's actually good? He just never had a chance to prove it. Because there's nothing you saw with him that he was terrible, right?
Jim Harbaugh, who now says he should be the first quarterback taken, showed you what he thought of him and how he coached that offense.
Well, why? They won a national title. They didn't need to throw.
I understand what you're saying, but if you watched Michigan play, it was...
They didn't put it in his hands.
Ever.
Right.
So if you think he's a top five pick and you weren't ready to give him the game in his hands...
So if you were offered Drake May... or McCarthy and another first-round pick, you would take Drake May.
Yes.
Based on what you heard from Merrill Hodge, that he's erratic under pressure. He has no pocket presence under pressure.
Okay. I do think pocket presence is something you can learn in the NFL. I think the
I'm terrified. I'm trading back.
Okay.
And by
if
the
you,
way,
if you want to say you want to trade out and you know, punt, yep. and I would punt before I take J.J. McCarthy.
So punt and take a receiver.
Right.
Take Nabers.
I would take Marvin Harrison Jr.
if he's still there.
Right.
Depends how far you trade back, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, whatever receiver you think is best.
Adunze. Shime loves saying Adunze.
But it's,
yeah, I'm on board with that. But I guess I'm or trade if you think Daniels is the guy, then trade up to get him.
But think back to Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, the guys that were nowhere near a conversation point. I also think it's very difficult to be Caleb Williams and to be Drake May, where for 2 years. Or Trevor Lawrence, or the guys that, you know, whatever, where for 2 years you are viewed as the guy that's next. You're under a serious amount of pressure at college, whereas the people like Jaden Daniels, who comes out of nowhere on an incredibly talented LSU team, look also at Brian Kelly quarterbacks in the NFL. They all suck.
All right, what should the Patriots do in the draft? 33 days from now, 617-779-7937. Free agency is over. They've got their bridge quarterback. They've got Brissett in for a year. They can groom any of these guys, or they could not take a quarterback at all, I guess, and just have, you know, run it with a Brissett and Zappe and just wait until next year to take a quarterback. Maybe that's not
done,
the worst thing.
Will you join me in being done giving Kraft the benefit of the doubt in terms of spending? Like, this has just been such an abomination. Awful.
It is a little surprising, but as we argued about last week on the show, you were so rude to me down in Florida, you and Andy Hart teaming up on me. I do think it could be a two-year plan, and they failed on Ridley. But do you think Ridley would he have moved the needle? Maybe I'm underestimating the reaction to the Calvin Ridley miss.
Okay, so here's the analogy I would use for you and the Pats fans, which are becoming fewer and fewer. But if you walk into an empty pantry and you get some dried, you know, you get some rigatoni, you get some peanut butter, you get some cereal, you get whatever. Just because you don't have it full doesn't mean you shouldn't put whatever you can into it. And so this team is not obviously Calvin Ridley away. Obviously, it was a lot of money for him. Front load the deal. Try it out. Make whoever is coming in behind Jacoby Brissett's job easier. Bring in Tyron, whatever the guy's name is, who went to the Jets, the left tackle.
Tyron Smith.
Why not?
The only thing I can think of is maybe he just didn't want to come here. They haven't said that, though, which makes me dubious of that excuse. Because that's possible, right?
But he not said in the he NFL. To stay in Jacksonville. Of all the major sports, the NFL, it is. The NFL is the least. It's not
why
like
would
he went.
Why would you want to come to New England right now? Just be honest.
Because you paid the most money.
Yeah, but if you're getting $1 million less, and you, I mean, not that Tennessee's got a great quarterback situation, so maybe that, maybe not. I just, I'm thinking about all the possibilities. How could they miss on over $1 million?
What do we say when the Red Sox tell us they were close?
Well, we generally mock that.
Okay, so, I mean, the Patriots are worse than the Red Sox when, when it comes to spending. It's not even close.
One more nugget on McCarthy. This doesn't sway you. This, they put this up on NFL Live this week. Third down passing of 7 yards or more. McCarthy's QBR, first in FBS, 97.5. 6 touchdowns, no picks. 74% completion percentage.
Okay, how many attempts were they in third and long? Watching a
does
lot
not
of,
say.
Their offense was really good on first
Joe
and second
that up.
Down.
How many third down, 7 or more attempts did McCarthy have?
My guess is those numbers are inflated because there were not many because you had incredible running backs and a great O-line.
But like you cannot pick apart his stats. He was 27-1 as a starter. He completed 72% of his passes. He had 22 touchdowns and 4 picks. He wasn't asked to do much, but when he threw it, obviously guys were running wide open or whatever. He was flawless. He's showing up at every event, unlike these top guys. He's
motivated.
Why do
you think he is? Because he needs to.
Okay, but don't you love that? Don't you get a little bit of the Brady vibes there? The overlooked? Come on, Mr. Brady. You're looking forward to 6-12, 24.
Did you watch the, I believe it was the Orange Bowl, when Brady in his final game at Michigan came back twice from 2 touchdowns down to beat Alabama? That was, I watched, believe me.
Did Brady win a national title?
No, they won.
JJ did.
Okay. Watch that game and tell me it was a Brady game manager.
All right, we'll take some calls on this. We got to get to trending. Busy day. Speaking of BC, BCBU.
Great game tonight.
Tonight,
7:30
finals. Yep.
The two best teams in hockey.
You can hear it on WEI AM 850 and on the Odyssey app. Just search Hockey East.
But UMass had a good game last night. They lost 8-1.
They scored the first goal.
Right. I was 8 unanswered. Don't let us win today. Also, we need to, at some point, get into Shohei because what a dumpster fire, and what a blessing for the Red Sox.
Red Sox playing chess when everybody else was playing checkers. They knew about Shohei. They knew about Yamamoto.
But just on the surface, that contract, to me, screams he's guilty.
The deferred contract?
Yes.
Oh, I want you to explain that after Joe's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics got their 8th straight win last night in Detroit. They defeat the Pistons 129-102. Jaylen Brown led all scorers with 33 points. Peyton Pritchard got the start. He was hot once again, 20 points and 9 assists. Derek White was 2 rebounds shy of his second career triple-double. He finished with 19 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. The road trip will continue for the Seas. They'll be in Chicago tonight to take on the Bulls. Tip-off is set for 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, off the court, Drew Holiday has been absent for the last 3 games. He told Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe he's been dealing with a dead arm and has no timeline for his game action. He suffered the injury last Sunday in Washington. Bruins get their 6-game road trip started this afternoon. They are in Philly to take on the Flyers. Linus Ullmark is slated to get the start in net based on yesterday's practice. Puck drop is scheduled for 1 o'clock. In the NFL, the Chiefs are trading cornerback L'Jarius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans for a 7th-round pick swap and a 2025 3rd-round pick. Sneed will be signing a 4-year, $76 million extension with Tennessee that includes $55 million guaranteed. Yesterday, the Sox lost to the Blue Jays 5-1. The team will have a split squad today. One team will be taking on the Pirates this afternoon. Well, you can hear the other squad face the Twins from JetBlue Park right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with Will Fleming and Lou Maloney on the call at 6:05. Elsewhere in the MLB, the league announced a formal investigation into Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. And 12th-seeded Grand Canyon and 13th-seeded Yale scored big upsets yesterday in the men's college basketball championships over St. Mary's and Auburn, respectively. You can listen to coverage of Round 32 right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM or via the free Odyssey app beginning at noon today with 7th-seeded Dayton against 2nd-seeded Arizona. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine.
And she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had
JJ. There we go, I like that, Joe. Michigan guy. Curtis should be all over them. Pro day yesterday. Your Patriots brass was there. Elliot Wolf, AVP, Gerard Mayo. All the decision makers watching him. ESPN's Matt Miller says he missed 2 throws out of 60.
Is Joe playing the song because you were in Springfield?
Yeah, maybe. Rick Springfield.
Two things. One, would you put $5 on Holy Cross plus 2,800 today against Iowa and Caitlin Clark?
I am asking you. You're the college hoops guru.
You
hit four parlays?
J.J. McCarthy sucks.
Can't say that.
He's going to suck.
He could be average. Is that what you mean? A backup? Like Scrubbini?
Curtis, what's more likely, J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots or Holy Cross beating Iowa?
Well, J.J. McCarthy. I mean, there's a better shot of you flying home without a plane, Joe, than Holy Cross beating Iowa. But
what's the money line?
Money line, 2,800.
Woo! That'd be some nice.
I mean,
cashew.
That's a lot of green. there are so few quarterbacks right now that elevate others to levels they would not be if they were not paired with, say, Patrick Mahomes or with Joe Burrow, or actually even Joe Burrow. What's he without Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and that great offensive coach in Zach Taylor? I mean,
oh, he's good. Come on. Some of the throws he makes.
I agree. He's great. But do the Patriots have those guys?
They don't, as you pointed out.
I mean, does Mahomes have anything that would even approximate Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins?
Yeah, they don't. But that's why you sit him for a year, no matter who you take. You know, you groom this guy.
Unless you know it's the guy at three, then you trade back or you take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah,
you
might
don't
be right.
Reach, because every team that reaches, you're giving up a first-round pick for a guy that will never play on your team in the NFL. Like, Trey Lance cost the 49ers, what, 3 first-round picks? He never took a snap. So, or did he? He didn't play, did he?
Who?
Trey Lance.
He played, yeah.
A bit.
A couple snaps.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah, not good.
So, I look at where the Patriots are, and candidly, I don't think they deserve much of our time. They haven't had any offseason of merit. I was told by Gerard Mayo they were going to burn some cash. I just view them as like a JV Sox right now. Like, at least the Sox are 15th in spending. We can laugh all you want, but they invest every year. There's been an anomaly recently.
Wow, can't believe I heard you say that.
But without a doubt. And another thing I'd want to credit the Red Sox this week, I thought they were magnanimous in inviting the dingbat Curt Schilling to the 20th year reunion with the 0-4 team for the home opener.
Yeah, he turned him down.
And he turned them down. But that's exactly what you do, because if you don't invite him, then you allow Curt Schilling to be a martyr. And what they did was they said it's for the team. He was great on the team. We're going to invite him. And I thought the Red Sox, an organization that generally just sort of does what the wind blows, they were very strong, and I agree with them on that decision.
But you would admit, no matter how people feel about the Patriots or the Dynasty docuseries and everything else going on with the franchise, when it's draft night, people are very interested. They have a chance to take a future Hall of Fame player, top three pick in the draft.
But do you think any of these guys are a Hall of Famer?
Well, Marvin Harrison probably fits the bill the most. Of all the buzz, right? Isn't he the surest thing? We talked about that before.
Right.
So, and the other thing is, I saw a mock draft, there's been a million, where the Jets trade up. The Patriots don't take Marvin Harrison. The Jets trade up to 5 and get Marvin Harrison and add him to their stable with Rodgers. Would that surprise you at all? If the Patriots don't take him, the Jets will take him.
I don't trust the Jets doing anything smart, to be honest. So, I mean, they did get the left tackle, but I don't think they would do that. I also, the Patriots right now are in a position that I haven't seen since Belichick arrived. They are the longest shot of any team to win their division in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They are at the bottom of the bottom. And for all the love that Bill Belichick has received lately because of the brutal hatchet job, great to see, by the way. We give him a hard time, but Shaughnessy back in the Globe after the quadruple bypass, I believe. So great that he's on the mend. He had a great column yesterday about the docuseries being embarrassing and a pathetic attempt by the Kraft.
A farce is the word he used.
Farcical is a good way to put it. But I just feel for where they are right now, the Patriots are just beyond contempt right now.
One question about the dynasty to get off track here. We'll get a call in and then on what your Shohei take. So they do praise Bill, obviously, in episode 10 with his performance in the last championship we've seen in this town in February of 2019 and the pantsing of the Rams and Sean McVay.
Right.
And they have the clip in there about his Mona Lisa and everything else. So that's obviously putting Bill on a pedestal. But it's only done so to kind of frame Kraft admitting I made a mistake by overestimating the way Bill performed in that game, and that made me choose Bill over Brady.
Which I think I said on this show that Danny lost his mind, but that was a fool's gold win that reshaped how Robert Kraft viewed the team.
If they lose that Super Bowl, if Bill's defense does not pitch a three-point effort, do they keep Brady over Bill? Because I don't know how that works.
I don't trust Robert Kraft to make a tough decision on anything.
Well, he did on this one. I mean, he let Brady go. That's a tough. You have to make a decision.
But it was awful. It was not in the best interest of the team. If you're going to lose Brady, you should get something. Mm-hmm. And that was Robert in the Chad Graff story in The Athletic, one of the great rewritings of history recently. Chad Graff with a straight face writes, I believe, it was not tongue-in-cheek, where he wrote that Robert Kraft's decision to preclude the organization from giving Tom Brady the franchise tag at the conclusion of the 2019 season was, in Robert Kraft's mind, a way to force Bill to treat Tom better.
Well, even he mentions that in the docuseries. He says, I'm an optimistic guy, I'm naive or something. I thought winning would be the cure-all and keep him together.
I'm sorry. I think anybody that's ever negotiated with the Krafts would not view him as naive. Okay, it's easy in hindsight to play dumb. He's mm-hmm. not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he tries to.
Right, but it's just, it defies logic.
What is 6:12 going to be like?
It's going to be bizarre.
Sold-out stadium. It starts at 7 at night. I don't know what's happening. Gates open at 5.
Is it a Wednesday?
It's a Wednesday night at 7.
Bizarre.
Who's there? Is Brady already gave a speech there? Like, what's he doing? Is he going to run down the field?
It is my hope that it is a celebration of the 20 years and the players that were part of Brady, that Brady, the teams that they were all a part of, sort of come back. And
this is your lifetime, Brady?
Well, it's sort of like, I mean, from what I remember of Larry Knight, I was young and my sister taped over it with diving, was that
they're all passing to each other down the court. And
well, yeah, you had, well, so like my guess is Peyton Manning will be there and maybe Mahomes will be there and you'll have Tony Romo maybe emceeing it with Jim Nance and you'll have, you know, the first half. So you'll have McGinnis and Brewski and Ty and Wiggy and
Dorito
Troy
Dink.
Brown. Yep, they'll be deflating everything. And they'll have three cameramen that are doing the filming from the field.
No, I'm sure. I mean, it'll be a must watch for Patriots fans to relive and say goodbye, I guess.
In hindsight,
is Bill going to be there?
With everything we know, I think you may have said this, Ken, so I'll give you credit.
Well, it depends what I said.
Selecting the Eagles opening night as the day to honor Brady because they all knew that the season was going to end poorly. Like, all the stuff that was already in the can when that game kicked off about Bill and all the stuff that they documented to a season that was not worth celebrating. I mean,
the whole season was a Bill hit piece.
It is amazing. Now you're 5 years removed, and the two toughest tickets for a Patriots game have been the return with the Bucks and the Tom Brady night, and there's not a close second.
And the ultimate kick back in the groin from Bill was winning that Broncos game on Christmas Eve. If they lose that game, they're picking second and they don't have all this drama. Then you just take Jaden Daniels.
But I think it's a blessing that they're not taking Jaden Daniels.
I don't think so. I think they're in a tough spot. I think Daniels is more of a sure thing.
How?
He's a
project. Where was he 3 years ago? 2 years ago? Did you know who he was at the start of the season?
Okay, but how many four-year starters are there in college?
Okay.
I don't see people knocking him like Merrill Hodge is knocking Drake May.
As well?
He's 25.
I mean, he's 25.
He's got 20 years left.
No, he's 23. He'll be 24 in December.
Good. Seasoned.
Yeah. 25 would have
ready
been
to play. Most ready to play quarterback in this class. That's what Orlovsky said.
Okay, so then I think he's not ready to play.
Let's go to, what should the Patriots do? Let's go to the phones. Gary in the car this morning on Ken and Curtis. Hi, Gary.
How's it going, guys?
How are you?
So, I don't know why they're not talking more about taking Harrison. To me, if I could give you a comparison, would you take, in like 03, 04, if you knew their careers, Carson Palmer or Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, no-brainer. Although, well, Palmer got his knee blown.
I mean, who was the guy in the Steelers that jumped on his?
Chemo Bonhoeffer.
Yeah, that was a brutal. That was a wild card game, right?
Yeah.
I think the Pats have screwed themselves. And Curtis, you've nailed it a million times. They didn't spend money, but their only option, I think, I don't like Drake May, and I think that they need to move up. So I don't know why there's not more talk of them taking that second round pick, which is as good as a first round because it's like pick 34, taking their pick. Their first round pick next year and moving up into that like 8-9 range and trying to get McCarthy or Penix. I've always liked Penix from the beginning, but I think that's the only move they have to like save any type of face to the public, in my opinion.
So, Gary, you're saying take Marvin Harrison at 3 and then trade up and get back in the top 10.
Get in the top 10, and you won't be able to do that till draft day because you got to see how things shake up. If May drops down, it's really getting past the Giants, and then you fall into the teams that don't need a quarterback, and you're going to be able to move up. And to me, a team that doesn't need a quarterback that can fall back into that early second round and then take the Pats pick for next year, which odds are is not going to be that good. It's probably going to be a top 10 pick. You're sitting pretty good. Someone like, you know, Atlanta, in that area there where the picks are, if the quarterback's there, I think that's what the Pats have to do. And I'm surprised that no one's talking about that.
I think that's kind of smart from Gary. I don't think that's a bad strategy at all. He's right. Giants at 6 need a quarterback, and then probably Vikings at 11. Although some other team could jump in there.
But the Giants were screwed by that Daniel Jones deal. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, Shohei.
Okay. There's so many things, but first and foremost, the contract structure for Shohei Ohtani screams that those closest to him knew
he had a problem.
Yes. The way that it was totally out of left field. It was initially announced 10-year, $700 million deal, whatever the deal's total was. And within 6 hours, you see that it's all deferred money. It's $2 million a year.
So if the Dodgers knew,
okay,
don't you think the Red Sox knew?
I said great job by the Red Sox. I praised the Red Sox like 6 times today. Also, he marries this woman.
Yep.
That the Angels players, according to McCullough, who co-wrote a story in The Athletic with Ken Rosenthal on this Dodgers fiasco, players with the Angels didn't even know he was dating her. And out of the blue, they're married, because what do married people not have to do? They don't have to say anything under oath. They can plead the fifth they are not forced to say anything incriminating about a family member. Hmm. And then anybody with a brain that sees this, we know of it in October and September. $4.5 million of wire transfers. This wasn't overnight. This didn't happen a week ago. To say that, A, we believe it's the only time it happened, and B, what is the first thing you do when you're caught, whether it's, you know, you've been drinking or whatever? You cop to the least amount the other person knows of your guilt. So you'll say, oh, I bet, but we never bet on baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose bet against himself. I know it. You know it. Mm-hmm. If you're losing millions and millions and millions of dollars, You don't even have to.
And you can ensure a winner. You don't have the Curtis Parlay touch.
But you don't even have to bet. You can use your information and call up Michael Bowery, the alleged gambling ring organizer in Southern California, and say, hey, Shohei's going to be on the shelf for a bit. You know, he's not going to be pitching at all for a week. And who in sports had more, other than maybe LeBron James, of an impact on a baseball game every 5 days than a guy that's pitching and the best hitter?
No doubt. And I have seen the threads. They are very intriguing. The potential thrown games of the, you know, which with big bets elsewhere.
And to say nothing of the complete 180 of the story immediately.
Can we agree on this, though? He is not going down with this.
He's going down.
Baseball is going to bury this sucker. They're going to find a way.
Pre-internet, you could. Post-internet, you can't.
Nope. And there's something here that they're going to get away with it. They'll find a way. They cannot have.
You want to know why it's not going to work? Because I was watching some of Boomer and Michael Kay. There's a lot of. I was just down a YouTube rabbit hole of everybody trying to make sure I understand this as best I can. And the New York media is digging in full throttle.
Is Ed Davis on it?
We're going to get Ed Davis. We're going to figure out what happened to Manny. The guy that tried to kill David died, by the way.
Oh, no.
No, good. I mean, he was an evil person. But either way, I don't know, obviously, but anybody that's ever had an addiction, if that's what this is, and it's hard not to feel that way with that amount of money, common sense and logic leave entirely.
So do you think it's going to come to like a Tiger Woods-esque Shohei press conference where he cops to everything and has an emotional...
No. He can't do that. I think the baseball world is going... He is not going to start the year playing for the Dodgers. There will be a...
Injury?
No, but it'll be, you know, we're
not... Oblique strain?
We need to figure out what's going on. And because
do you think Manfred's going to have the stones to put him on some kind of exempt list?
What do you think the money baseball gets per year from legal sports betting apps? What do you think the total advertising money? I would guess it's probably 30% of their ad money at the bare minimum.
And yeah, they've upped that this year, by the way. Allotment of allowed gambling spots in games, etc.
And second, on that note, and Wiggy made this point, and I've heard others say how it's hypocritical. It's not hypocritical. You, as a player in Major League Baseball, get half of the revenue that the sport brings in. So if you want to take a 30% hit on the amount of revenue you get, fine. But you can get money from BetMGM or FanDuel or DraftKings, and you just can't spend that money betting on your team or your sport. You can bet on football, whatever. And it's clearly delineated in the collective bargaining agreement. You can't use bookies.
They're going to find a way to get this translator. This translator, stuff will come out about him. You've never heard about another human since Homo sapiens began to walk the earth.
And also, by the way, according to Mike Trout and others, Shohei Ohtani, fluent in English.
Well, he understands English. Yeah, I saw that.
So everybody that's, Wiggy, what a bizarre pretzel he tried to configure himself
into.
Well,
yeah, he's convinced he's not guilty.
No, he just wants to argue. He has no, there's literally no rationale behind his decision.
So you think he's doesn't start the year, it all unravels, and Shohei gets banned for life?
Not banned for life, but.
But if this is true and they catch him on it, then you have to ban him for life.
They already started the season because they had the two games in Korea, but they say he's still going to play throughout this investigation.
Yeah, I agree. Joe's right. He's going to play. They are going to power through this sucker and pretend it didn't happen.
They were literally halfway around the world, and it really hadn't fully gotten through since the second game.
But you have the lack of English speaking on the surface that's going to prevent them.
I'm sorry. The 508 that just texted about Pete Rose, I'm sorry.
No, we can't do Pete Rose talk.
He bet against himself. When you're a degenerate, believe me, I have been a degenerate. I have been the biggest alcoholic. I've drank like crazy.
Four bets this weekend. That's a problem.
You do everything you're not supposed to do because the only thing that matters to you is what you are addicted to. And when you're Pete Rose and you have to win, you bet against yourself. Or you bet every night and then you pick a night you don't bet on yourself, which is the same as telling the gambling world you're gambling against yourself.
So you think Shohei is Dunsky?
I would say the Red Sox best decision they ever made was not investing in Shohei Ohtani. Because even if he gets through this, right? Let's say you're right and you and Joe probably are right that baseball will try and bury this.
You once said Tiger was never going to come back from his whole incident.
Well, he's no, not back. From his incident. I thought when he nearly died in the car.
Yep, but he's been back.
I mean, not back all the way. I mean, he's been barely competing.
But still, you thought things were going to start to unravel from a character point of view that would prevent him from ever being welcomed back into the public.
What?
You were quick to judge.
I said he fell asleep. If you fall asleep behind the wheel, it's not because you're tired.
Okay, fine.
Do you agree?
I don't know what happened there. But he's been back.
Well, that
he's
was what the conversation
again.
Was.
No, you were saying we're never going to see him play again, and he did.
Okay, but he hasn't contended.
Well, that's not the point. The point is Shohei going to play again?
Okay, Shohei Ohtani, why do you think the Dodgers gave him $700 million?
Good gambler.
Because he is a face of the franchise, biggest star in all of international sports, right?
Yep.
Well, this is like when the Yankees gave A-Rod that big deal, and then he got popped, and it's like this whole home run pursuit that they thought they were going to have.
But he's even more intriguing now. Don't you think people want to see Shohei now?
No, I'm talking about the escalators in A-Rod's deal about the home run pursuit.
Yeah.
Were totally moot after he was caught. And the Shohei side of whatever percent, 20, 40% of the deal that they thought they were going to get in terms of revenue from marketing and other purposes, now maybe sullied and changed forever.
What will happen? What should baseball do about Shohei? We'll take some calls on that. It's the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere.
I can say I don't think he was a very good interpreter either. I can say that now. I should have been able to say that at any point. In fact, I tried to ask him, when I was in Dodger camp, something about Ohtani, and he told me that he could take questions, but not on Ohtani. So, I mean, you know, I guess if I knew about the gambling issue, that would have been a good question to ask about him, but there really wasn't anything to ask his interpreter other than about Ohtani. That was the reason that he was there. You don't mind my saying,
I can see John Heyman talking to the interpreter, Mizuhara, Shohei Ohtani, which has taken over the sports world. Why wouldn't he have signed with the Red Sox? Gambling is legal here. Why go to California where it's going to go through all these secondhand bookie stuff?
Because he's probably been using this guy the whole time he was out there.
Just saying that tongue-in-cheek. Now, 978 Texter, totally right. If you think MLB will suspend Ohtani, put down the bottle. No way that cash cow will be put out the pasture.
Hey, I've been wrong before, but you cannot. I go back to when my freshman year at BC, I managed the basketball team. And as just a lowly Gatorade or Powerade maker for Yuka Agbai and Troy Bell, Ryan Sidney, forgotten guy, very talented player. But and who could forget Nate Dornkamp? But before you're even allowed into the locker room or on the premises as an assistant or manager within Conny Forum, you have this 3-hour zero tolerance dissertation about the perils and the pitfalls of gambling and all the things that you can do because BC has a zero tolerance policy because of issues in the past. And it's something that whether you're in fencing or you're a manager of the basketball team, everybody that walks through the doors at Boston College, my assumption is it's still that way 20 years later, is told the same thing. And when you are in bed, literally, with companies whose entire livelihood is predicated upon fair play, then you cannot have the appearance of impropriety, even if it does not exist, with your biggest name. And if they just begin the year with Shohei Ohtani.
Well, could they give him a slap on the wrist and say, yes, he wired money illegally. He should have known better. Poor Shohei, 10-game suspension.
No, because that'll be like the Ray Rice suspension, and then the video comes out and how bad that made the NFL look. You have to sit him out until you know what's going on. Because this is a crime in progress. You need to understand what happened, how it happened. If he was just doing these wire transfers from his own laptop, like, shouldn't be too hard
would
to figure out.
If you had his money, would you wire anybody $4.5 million?
No.
Even if they were your good buddy?
I mean,
you were in a foreign land.
You see what I do for a living. I don't think that'll be a problem. I'm not worried about having $4 million to wire someone.
Let's go to, would John Curtis wire you $4.5 million?
I mean, it has happened.
John, Bobby in Longmeadow. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing? So I agree that Ohtani has his fingers in this. And you remember, it was 105 years ago, you had Shoeless Joe Jackson, which that's a whole nother story. But the print in the media was, say it ain't so, Joe. Now it's say it ain't show. And I'm surprised nobody, like the New York Post or something like that, hasn't picked up on that.
Good headline.
Can you imagine?
Michael K. actually said that should be the headline the other day.
Oh.
Well, I called in to the Jones show, but I didn't get on. And I told the producer that comment like midweek. Yeah. And I was getting on the bike, so I didn't want to text and or call and drive. But anyways, the other thing is, can you imagine if this was Tom Brady in 2015, what they would have suspended him. They would have, you know, cheater Patriots. Right. It would have been that whole story. It would have been completely different. But there's no way this guy, he's like Beetlejuice on Howard Stern. Who, me? Like, the guy comes off as, like, naive and can't speak English and all this other stuff. But meanwhile, he holds his cards close to his chest. There's no way he doesn't have some kind of knowledge of betting or having this guy bet for. I don't know the details of the case, but
well,
it's ridiculous.
When Mizuhara gets the screws put to him, because right, they're going to go over him. I mean, unless he's a great fall guy, don't you think they'll get some answers out of him? They'll really start to. I mean, his faith will be tested here.
It is a lot of money, $300,000 to pay a guy to translate a language that the person you're translating for already understands. You know, and I am certain that Shohei has planned. See, the thing, when something like this breaks, we're all playing catch-up in the media because we don't know the parties. We don't know what the full situation is. We don't know about this federal investigation into this gambling ring in Southern California. Whereas the parties that are being discussed have known all of this and have already had a head start at what they're going to do, which is why it wasn't this haphazard thing where the translator speaks to the media and then, oh, my God, what's happened? That was a coordinated attempt by the Ohtani camp to get ahead of something. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they began with something that was so transparently false tells you can't trust anything they say.
It's like one of Jackson's excuses to you in the morning.
Yeah, right. Like what I said when he said, we don't play cuts with multiple voices in them. And then the next cut he played at 7. By the way, I was almost given a man on the street interview last night at Medal of Honor Park in Southie.
Really?
Beth Germano of WBZ TV comes walking up to me and I'm walking James to go.
Oh, you would have been tremendous.
And I said, no, can't do it.
Why?
I have to get a little notoriety
for the show?
No, I had to go through you.
I would have approved that. Come on. We want you out there speaking on behalf of the Greg Hill Show.
They were going to ask me about the brawl in the park and I just had nothing to say.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. He's got something to say. Hi, Dave.
Hey. Good morning, everybody, from Sanibel Island today.
Ooh, nice.
Bud Mud. What is it called, Hilton? Bug Mud? Mud Bug?
Yeah, Mud Bugs.
Awesome place.
Yeah.
Oh, was that great.
The place is awesome. Yeah, the island's coming back. But anyway, the reason I wanted to call is over a year ago, I got into a pretty heated argument with Shyam on the gambling. And my belief is that gambling in sports, it just doesn't mix. I knew this was going to happen. Now you may have one of the best players that ever played baseball be thrown out of the league, and it could be he could lose his work visa, right? Because if he's convicted of a felon, he could lose his ability to work in the U.S. and then the Dodgers can void his contract. But you know, the other thing is, I was in law enforcement for 28 years. Right now I see advertisements, the NCAA is looking for numerous investigators, trying to hire investigators, and I don't know, but I can only speculate the reason why they're doing that. I think it's going to creep into the sports, the collegiate sports, the referees. When people can create generational wealth, people are greedy in this country, and human beings want to create wealth. And it's normal. If you can find a way to cheat, a lot of people are going to cheat. And I think sports and gambling are a mix. I know you guys and radios make a lot of money on all these advertisements, so I understand that part of it. But I really, really was strongly believe that it's not good for sports.
Well, I would ask this, Dave, and you know far more about the law enforcement end than I do, but there was a podcast with Joe Rogan and this guy, I can't remember his name, he's this big gambler. He was the one who, Phil Mickelson threw him under the bus, or he threw Phil under the bus with the insider trading. Yeah. Anyway, he did this long 2-hour interview about how sports handicapping. And the way that he made it sound, the gentleman who has been in sports betting forever with Rogan, was that you know right away when there's movement on lines who's doing it and what the red flags are. Are you saying it's not that easy to understand?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know that. You know, I don't gamble on sports anyway, but I don't understand that part of it. I can't really comment, but I do know humanity, and I know what's happening. That this thing with Shohei is just stinks because the guy's a great talent. Who knows? They may be able to keep him in the league. I really don't know that, but I just know that, you know, when you have people able to create generational wealth by saying, okay, I might call three or four more fouls at the end of the game, and okay, my distant relative in California is going to be placing the bets for me. I'm telling you right now, it's happening, and there's no way to stop it. I don't even know if you can stop sports betting at this point. Probably can't, but that's just my opinion.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call.
Well, I can tell you media is not in any way in a position to say no to any type of advertising. It is honestly, I would say sports betting has almost single-handedly kept TV and radio afloat.
I don't know about that, but I do think the sports leagues themselves are so far down the path now, there's no getting out of it. They will not be giving this money back. So to Dave's point that this ain't going away or getting any better, there will be more incidents like this popping up.
But I also think that we're not nearly as talented of criminals as we think we are. And it'd be one thing if it was in the 70s, right, where you're calling from a payphone at the gas station.
Yeah.
Everything we do is so traceable.
Somebody's got chewing gum with your DNA on it.
No, but it's true. Like, everywhere you are, you can have your people are alleging you to have committed a crime, they can ping your phone to know exactly where you are at all times.
All right, hour number two of the Kenny Curtis Show on the way. Next 2 hour show today. Tonight, BCBU 7:15 launch on AM 850. Red Sox at 6. How about the young kids in with the crew today? Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer up in Bradenton. Only a couple games left. Season opens Thursday. Curtis spent hard-working time yesterday putting a Sox promo together, which I loved.
I have to tell you, we should have gone with Sleepless in Seattle. That was a great idea on the cutting room floor.
You're feeling it.
10 o'clock Eastern for the Sox opener.
That's great. You're going to stay up for that.
I remember.
It's your job.
I don't know what year it was, but I remember years ago, I was listening to Dennis and Callahan, and the Red Sox opened in Japan, I think. And Dale was doing the games, and it was one of the more bizarre things I've ever listened to. Morning baseball in, from Japan. But, oh well, we'll have a 10 o'clock start. Brian Bayo on the bump. But the good news about Safeco, or whatever they call it now, no fear of any rainouts. So there's not that awkward day off after the opener, which I never like.
All right. We'll reset the draft talk and also the Shohei talk on the way next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.